Hello, and welcome to LibRetro, one API to bring them all. This is for the FOSDEM 2021 conference. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Rob Loach, and today we'll be covering everything about RetroArch, LibRetro, and the modularization that it brings to the table. Since FOSDEM has gone remote, if you have any questions, definitely write them down and come prepared to the live Q&A later on. Or simply yell at me on Twitter. That's always fun. So, as I mentioned, my name is Rob Loach. I am part of the LibRetro team members. I'm a web nerd and open source evangelist. Been in the web industry for about 15 years. And have always loved game development and retro video games. I'm Rob Loach on Twitter, GitHub, and YouTube, so feel free to reach out to me there. But I am not the only one who's represented in this presentation. I want to make a big shout out to the LibRetro theme. It spans across about 15 people and more. We depend on lots of contributions. For this talk, I do want to shout out TwinFX, Gauchi, Gadsby, and Kivitar for their help and contribution to these slides. LibRetro is available at libretro.com. So check that out. And with that, let's talk about emulation. There's so many emulators out there. It's absolutely incredible to see how far it's come over the past few years. Being able to run older software on new hardware is essential in order for archival and digital preservation. There's Dolphin for GameCube and Wii, PCSX2 for PlayStation 2 emulation, PPSSPP for PlayStation Portable, Desmune for DS, Nestopia, FCEUX for Nintendo. It goes on and on and on. There's so many emulators out there, and it's so exciting to see. And even outside the emulation world, there's also a whole bunch of game frameworks out there and engines like Pico 8 or Doom with PR Boom, ScumVM for all of the amazing classic adventure games, and even more. But this causes a problem for users. As a user, it can be cumbersome to set up all of the different emulators. Each application has its own settings, input configuration, graphical user interface, so it can be difficult for new users to set up all of these different applications for each system. And in addition, it's also difficult for emulation developers. It's cumbersome to have to manage your own window logic, input, video, and audio playback. On top of that, how can you guarantee that your application will run well across different platforms? There's Windows, Mac OS, Linux on the desktop. What about mobile? Can you run your application on the web? How about smaller hardware like the Raspberry Pi? There are a lot of things to consider when you're developing your own emulator. So along comes LibRetro. In this talk, we'll be covering what it means to be a LibRetro front end. We'll also be talking about what LibRetro cores are, the LibRetro APIs, covering some of the basics of that, and the ecosystem surrounding LibRetro. So let's talk through some of the front ends involved. A front end is essentially a program that implements the LibRetro API and interacts with LibRetro cores. There are a bunch of front ends out there that can interact with LibRetro cores, and I'll talk about some of those here. The first one up on the list is RetroArch. It's the primary reference front end for LibRetro. It's available on Windows, Mac, Linux, Raspberry Pi, Android, iOS. There's a slew of different platforms that run RetroArch. So head over to RetroArch.com to see if it's available for your platform. Some of the favorite features that I have for RetroArch are NetPlay. Being able to run retro video games through NetPlay brings a lot of the memories of couch co-op and couch multiplayer. I love that. Being able to play retro video games over the internet is pretty awesome. Rewind is really cool. It lets you, in real time, reverse actions that you have taken in games. If you miss a ledge in like Mario or something, just rewind a couple seconds and try again. So cool. Input run ahead is also really, really awesome. When you're playing a game, it will take your input and apply those inputs to previous frames. So it gives you the illusion of reduced input lag. It just feels so much more responsive when you hit a jump button and it like instantly happens. Really awesome to see. And on the web, you can run RetroArch through the web using Emscripten. Just head over to web.retroarch.com and, you'll see like there's not as many features as the desktop application, but it's awesome to be able to run some of these, cores on the web. Laka is awesome. Laka is a Linux distribution based off of Libre Elec, I think that's what it's called. And it makes it so that when you boot up the device, it instantly goes into RetroArch. What makes it unique is that it runs on so many different devices, from the desktop to small CPU boards like the Raspberry Pi or the Odroid, to even handheld devices like the RetroFlag GPi case. Laka is an awesome solution for that, so I highly recommend you check it out. Ludo was written in Go. Its aim is to keep the most basic features to allow other people to learn how to design and build their own front end from scratch. I love how snappy and simplistic it is. It's very easy to load it up and get a sense of how to add your content to it and use it. Again, very basic, minimal front end. Great for ease of use. And speaking of ease of use, GNOME Games is an interesting one. It's focused on the GNOME environment. And having it just focused on that desktop environment means that it can take really great advantage of the environment itself. It's very easy to use. The user interface is very stripped down. And it's still relatively early on in the GNOME games development cycle too. So have a look if you have any ideas on what should be implemented as part of it. Get involved. I also wanted to make a shout out for Kodi. Kodi's been doing some really interesting things with their retro player. Some examples of how cool this is that you can just, in your own media center in Kodi, you can add your own games library and then browse them directly using your controller. And it's awesome. Still very early on as well, but I just wanted to make a shout out to Kodi and retro player. There's even more front ends available as well. Arcan is a desktop environment that brings libretro directly into the Linux distribution. Actually, I'm not sure if it's a Linux distribution. Someone will have to correct me on that. So yell at me on Twitter or something if I'm getting that wrong. But I just love seeing libretro used in places outside of just a single application. BizHawk is very... it's heavily used in the tool-assisted speedrun community. MUVR is a virtual reality application that you can, when you enter this virtual reality, you're sitting in front of a CRT TV, which I just love. I love that. And Lemuroid is a Android based open source application project, which really adopts some of the graphical user interface features around Android, so it fits seamlessly in a mobile setting. So that's it on front ends. But what are LibRetro cores? A LibRetro core is a program that exposes the meat of their application through the LibRetro API as a dynamically linked library. While these applications can have their own standalone implementation, this dynamically linked library allows front ends to use the LibRetro API to interact with them in a modularized fashion. There are a number of cores out there, split across a few different categories.